Good morning, and welcome to Session 6 of our Bible study, To Follow in His Footsteps. I must confess that today I'm excited to be with you. Just before we began, just an air of expectation came over me as I was just sitting and worshiping and praying in tongues very quietly. And I look forward to what the Lord is going to share with us today. A number of you have commented on what this first session last week meant to us. And I think we're going to pick up and get into even more of His will. And you're going to see again today how important us walking in honor is. Let me urge you to comment as you have opportunity to let us know who is watching. And also, if you comment and with a question or an observation, that's fine too. We do monitor and are looking at it, and so we'll respond very quickly this morning, and then we will also look at it following up and try to follow up with any questions you may have. Again, you can get handouts if you want it. You can send a private message to Patricia Daly, and she'll get it to you, or if you're listening on the website, to info@mintonwilliams.com. So let's get started this morning as we pray. Father, I thank you that we can come before you today knowing that you'll open your word up to us. We just ask for revelation today, revelation that brings faith down deep inside us, that we may walk in it as we learn today about more about your desire for us to walk in a lifestyle of honored, of honoring you and being honored. So as we listen today, Holy Spirit, we open our hearts up to you and we just say, have your way, not only in this place, but in my heart as well. And it's in Jesus' name we all agreed, saying, amen. I want to start with a review of last week. We're going to do part two of honor today. And as I told you last week, this really grew in me when I took a trip to Washington, D.C. to visit a friend of mine, really to honor him. And the Lord revealed to me how important this was to him as we drove by the Capitol. And I mentioned this last week. I mentioned it not knowing that we would have an opportunity to witness in the judiciary hearing last week the epitome of what we were talking about, that there is a lack of honor and that there's hypocrisy in that honor. And it was very saddening to me to watch it as it played out throughout the session as I had opportunity to glance back through what had happened that day. So it just really, it hurt my heart. And so I know if it hurts my heart, it bothers the Lord that we in this nation don't walk with the honor that we should toward Him, and also, as we're going to see today, toward one another. So it is important to note, too, that this session that we're talking about on honor follows what? Two sessions on love and two are on who we are, our identity in Christ Jesus. Now, I also want to mention to you that are in Macon that beginning 1 week from today, Shannon Dickerson is going to begin hosting a Wednesday night study on Honor's Reward, a book by John Bevere, an outstanding book. It's not going to be broadcast, so you're going to need to attend in person if you wish to see it. We'll be showing videos that John Bevere has recorded and then having a discussion on it, and this will go on for 4 weeks. So let me encourage you, if you have opportunity with that, come out and learn more. He gets into great detail in his book. Let me start again by reminding you what honor is in the dictionary. A verb form, it says to regard or treat with respect or to give special recognition to. And again, I just want to mention, we do that with agape. And you're going to see today some more of this unconditional honor given. The way we view, particularly others, is going to be so important. As a noun, it means showing of merited respect. One whose worth brings respect or fame. And it's also as a distinction when a person holds a title that honor is given. And you're going to see that today. And then we looked at couple of synonyms, and two in particular I wanted to mention. Deference and preferred. Those are two that really go hand in hand with honor. So as we go through today, you're going to see this come out again and again. We looked at 1 Samuel last week and saw how Eli honored his son, Hophni and Phinehas, above most everything, above God, above his law, the commands, especially as they pertain to offerings, and in doing so, really above the people that Eli was to be serving. Now, what impact did this have on the people? Well, they were very deeply troubled by it. So as they treated the offerings as common, what happened to the people? They too began to decrease in the value they saw in the esteem they gave to this offering. And so everything became common to them. Now, when we do that, that really is troubling to the Lord. Because not only are we dishonoring him, but we're dishonoring each other and those who he loves so, so deeply. We saw the same thing happen to Jesus in treating him as common as he went to Nazareth and taught. And they were wowed by what he taught. And then they began to think about it and took the thoughts of the enemy, which said, well, you know his brother and sisters. He's just like you. He's no different. And what happened? They became offended with him. But we saw in this verse that because there was loss of honor, there was loss of reward. And what reward did they lose in Nazareth? No mighty miracles could he do there, even though he wanted to. It didn't say he didn't want to. It said he could not do them. So we see the importance of honor. And true honor will always produce a reward back to you. We also saw that true honor is a heart issue in the book of Isaiah. And then we begin to look at a lifestyle of honor by looking at it and examining two groups or two categories, two objects of honor. The first one we looked at was the Lord. We saw in John 8 that Jesus said, I honor my Father, and thus so should we. Simply said, we saw in John 8 again, Jesus saying, it's the Father that honors me. And we see two things with this. Number one, we need to honor Jesus as well. And also, it's a precursor for the second element that we looked at last week that we'll jump into in just a moment. But in John 5, we read this verse, 23, and it says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so that has applications for us today. As well, that we need to show honor not just to the Father, but those that he places in our lives that are worthy of honor. And we're going to see that over and over today. Second group we looked at was you and I as part of the body of Christ, or the church, the ecclesia, those called out ones. John 12 tells, Jesus speaking, says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So we see that as we serve the Lord, he's going to bestow honor on us. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because in Psalm 8, we saw several scriptures that talks about how we've been crowned with glory and honor. And if you remember, one of the words for honor in the New Testament is the same word for glory. And then we looked at a number of verses in 1 Corinthians 12. And the bottom line of that is we're to honor each other in the body. No matter what role one is called to. In fact, the less esteemed in the body, the more we should give them honor. And when they receive honor, then we ought to be just as excited for them as it's happening for you and I. So that's what we looked at last week, and we want to just pick up right now, and we're going to move from the family of God, his body, to what I would just term family or the family unit here on this earth. Now, let me caution you straightway. When we are dealing with family, those who we know better than anyone else, there is a strong tendency, not willful maybe, but it just seems to happen, and the enemy of our soul can use it. There's a strong move toward us to not honor, to not esteem each other in this family unit as highly as we ought, because we do become in many ways so common with each other. And that's why we must view this and work from a position of agape love, that unconditional love, as we look at that. Go to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Now we're going to, again, hit this with a broad brush today, not an in-depth study, but enough to, I believe, prick your heart to want to work in higher levels of honor, and also maybe even to study it more. So 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel." Now, it's not saying that our spouses are weak, but it's saying to treat them this way with respect and with understanding because we do value them so highly. "Since she is a woman," it goes on to say, "and grant her honor as a fellow heir." One translation, I believe, is King James, says, "as heirs together." Again, no male or female in the Lord in that way. "Of the grace, heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, this straightway brings up the subject of authority. And we're going to be dealing with authority today on three or four levels. And so, authority plays a role in our honoring. We honor those in authority. And if we live righteously, that will go well for us. And you'll see that in a minute. But it also, this last phrase here, and I make this statement unequivocally. Look at the last statement. "So that your prayers may not be hindered." There is no prayer of agreement, in my perspective, more powerful than the prayer of agreement between a husband and a wife. Between a husband and his wife. The strongest. Now, why is that so? Well, we studied our relationship with the Lord and know that it's a covenant relationship. But what is marriage? Marriage is also a covenant relationship where two people who are in covenant with the Lord and are one with Him come together in a covenant. And now it's a threefold cord with each other plus the Lord in our lives, the Holy Spirit, binding us together. And you know about a threefold cord being very strong. So no stronger power. So why this concept of honor? Because when you're honoring people, strife can't conquer. If you honor each other, if you think the best of each other, if you see each other in this account, and we don't get hurt by something somebody says where they may not have meant what they said, but we just cast that aside and stay walking in this position of love and honor, then there's no stronger power. And so I just want to encourage those of you who are married to see the value of this. Now look at Ephesians 6. And we're going to look at five verses here, but we're going to start in verse 2. Now, we're going to be talking, we're still talking about the family, but we're going to be talking a little bit about children here. And parents and grandparents, I want to say to you, don't teach what we're about to study as a one-way deal. Because it's not. We tend to say, "You've got to honor me because I'm your parent." That's not the way we want to teach this. We want to teach this as mutual respect, mutual of honor, from our position of authority. And we'll make some other comments about that before long. Look in verse 2. "To the children is talking," and we're going to come back and read 1. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." And what is this first commandment? What is this reward for children for honoring their parents? "That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Now, I read that verse, and I think about Psalm 91, verse 16. "Satisfied with a long life where we behold His salvation." That's a promise, the first commandment with promise. And that's one of the first things we ought to begin teaching our children. Again, in a mutual respect, mutual honoring type environment. I'm about to hit that one. Now look back in verse 1. "Children, obey." Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, this is God's righteousness at work in us, is for us as righteous people to obey our parents. I still honor my mother as she approaches her 90th year on this earth. And if she tells me, "I think you need to do this," then I certainly take it strongly into account. I don't lose that respect even as I grow old. Now, I know sometimes roles reverse. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about continually we ought to have a respect for our elders, our parents. Now, look down next with me. No, let me back up. In that verse, you also see a linkage between honor and what? Obedience. And you can't separate that. You're also going to see next week this concept of submission. In fact, you're going to see it more today. Submitting, making a willful decision to submit yourself, to take you below what you want to do, to submit to the honor of your parents. Now, why is that so important to teach the children? Because that's exactly what you and I are to be doing today in our relationship with the Father. I would state to you that many of us adults have had problems submitting to the will of the Father because we weren't taught to submit to the will, to be obedient to our parents. Selah. And then look at verse 4. And verse 4 is really a verse that testifies that we want to teach this both ways, that you're to honor me, you're to obey me as you submit to me, but know that I will treat you with equal honor back. And look at the warning it gives to fathers, and I believe to all parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So if I'm not provoking them, then what is the opposite of that? I'm honoring them. I'm showing them great respect and great love as I esteem them highly. And again, I know you love your children. I know that we love our grandchildren. But there are times when things don't go exactly like we think they ought. And we can't stop honoring them. We don't want to get over into that area of provoking them, as the word says to us. Now, a couple of things on this. If you honor your children, you will discipline your children because you think highly enough of them that you don't want them making mistakes that you know won't please the Lord. This is the honorable thing to do. The other thing that I want to mention is consider how much better instruction might go if you honor the children as you are instructing them. In other words, I'm not saying you're talking to them as a peer. That's not what authority does. Authority instructs from a higher position of authority. But you're doing it in love. And think about the Lord. How does He instruct us? Does He give you instruction by becoming so angry with you that He wants to do something evil to you? No. He does it with gentleness. He does it with His word for you and I today because He deals in our spirit man, that inner me. Think so much how things would be better if instruction were given and received in this what? In this culture of honor. Now, we see in verse 6, and I know that's not in your notes, but I just want you to kind of read through verse 6, and let me just tell you, here's another example in verse 6 of honoring without any hypocrisy. You don't honor them, so they'll honor you. You honor them because we're instructed to and because you love them, not trying to get them to honor you. And then we go to verse 8, which is what I wanted to jump to next. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. What concept are we talking about him here? The Lord saying, I will honor those who do what? Who honor me. And we can begin to teach our children so that they can see the Lord doing this for them early on in their life as favor comes that way, in school and in other places. And then I want you to notice where the Holy Spirit placed these scriptures. This is in the last of the letter written to the Ephesians. It's in the last chapter. And in fact, a couple of verses down in 10, Paul starts out, finally. Now, what do? You save the most important things for last to save, to tell people. And this is exactly what he's done with honor. The other thing that I want to mention to you is, you think the more that we walk in honor toward the Lord, and honoring in every way that we're talking about these different groups of people or objects of our honor, Do you think that we will do a better job in walking in the fullness of the power of this armor of God that we put on? I just think it just stresses how truly important it is to Him. And this is a good place now for me just to mention as we move to the next one. It's a good place to just mention as we transition talking about authority in the family, this authority on the earth, other authorities on the earth, are also to be honored. And again, I'm going to submit to you that problems we have in this nation where, and let's use political figures that we elect, let's use teachers and other authorities that are in our life, this is the main reason why, in what we just read, those verses about family, while there's no honor for a lot of kids toward anyone who is in a position of authority. In fact, for many, there's outright rebellion. It's not the church's responsibility to teach it. It's not the school's responsibility to teach it. It's parents' responsibility to teach about honor. And this is a big area that if I were talking, had the opportunity to talk to a group of young people who maybe have kids or who are about to have kids, this is one of the main things that I would stress to them. Honor will not proceed to these other areas unless it's taught in the home. In fact, I'll say it this way, and I really already said it. I've mentioned to you before that how you love God's people is a reflection of how much you love the Father. I would submit that the same thing is true to you concerning honor. So let's move to talk about honoring those in government or what we might term civil authorities. Go to the book of Romans, and we've got 7 verses in the 13th chapter, 1-7, that I want to read with you. And we're going to read a verse, and then we'll talk briefly about it. Again, we can't do an exhaustive study on this today. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Can that be more clear? I don't believe I need to explain that. And then it says, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So God is the author of all authority. Now, here in verse 1, consider the law. When God gave the law, which was what? His authority, so that people would know how to act. He gave it so they would know right and wrong. So there was no sin, really, in the context that we think about it, where people would ask for forgiveness before the law because they didn't know they messed up. And so this just reinforces the fact that God is the author of all authority in this earth. And we'll address some questions shortly about, well, what if? Look at the second verse. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So what is he saying here? That if we resist authority, and I'm not just talking about the dictates of authority. If we resist authority itself is really the connotation here. A difference between what they tell you to do and the position of authority that they have. Then this says it is not pleasing to God. Now we're going to talk about what to do when it opposes the kingdom of God and the rights that we have there. Look at verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, this verse is how we want to teach our young people, our children, to walk in honor toward policemen even. Those who are in authority over their life. Let me read it to you from the Passion Translation, and I won't have to explain it at all. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. That's so important, we tell our children. You don't need to fear a policeman as long as you're doing what you know is right and what you're supposed to do. But in those who are doing wrong, so then it tells you if you're doing wrong, you're not in that same group. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right. And listen to this phrase. And they will honor you. Now think about that in some of the times we're in today with the disrespect back and forth between people and even the police, people of authority, or people and politicians. This says that do what is right and they will honor you. So it's that mutual respect. That is a reward for us who are in for us who are under authority of doing right, is that they will honor us. Now, I don't take that statement as anything but the way God says things will be. It has nothing to do with external, anything external. So all of us can expect that to happen, is what I believe the Lord's word is telling us. And then verse 4, for it is a minister of God. So we're to look at these people as a minister of God for good to us. But if you do what is evil, then as we were just talking, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So there is judgment that will have to come if we're doing evil by these, what I would term civil authorities in our lives. Verse 5, wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. This is saying that we have to be in a submissive mode to people in authority. We have to submit to authority. Now, I'm going to make this statement, and then we'll talk about it more next week, assuming we get through with all this week, that submission, putting your will under others, doesn't occur when you agree with what the other one's telling you. Submission means you put your will under the position of the one that's in authority when you don't agree. And we'll hammer that one some next week, but that is so, so important. And it also leads right into obedience. It ties in there. So we're going to talk about submission and obedience together. And then in verse 6, we can learn from Jesus. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers or servants of God devoted themselves to this very thing. Now, what did Jesus say? Render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. And that's the basic premise that we operate from. When civil authorities breach God's law, the laws of the kingdom of heaven, then we have a right to resist in a number of ways, but one of them is about praying for that person, and you'll see that in a moment. And then in verse 7, kind of a summary, render to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and look at the last one, and again, save the last for the most important, honor to whom honor is due. And I'll just add the is due. It's obviously in there. Now, that's the summary. But I want you to look down at verse 8. And we're not going to study them. But in verse 8, in verse 10, beyond this, guess what this bumps right up against? Talking about love. Owe no man anything but to love him. And I'm going to tell you, this is not just saying don't owe money to anybody. This is saying we don't have anything that we owe to other people except our love, that agape, that unconditional love. So again, it just shows how these two go together. Now go back to 1 Peter, and I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to look at verse 17, but I only want to look at the last part of it. The first three words we can ignore. So picking up in the middle, it says, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, don't worry, because we're going to come back to that first part of the verse. In fact, that's the very last group we're going to talk about. But the question I want to ask you with this verse is, when do you honor the king, that person in authority over you? Do you honor them only when you're called before them? Or when you're stopped by one of them for doing something wrong? Or do you honor them as you're talking to your neighbor about what happened or about what you've been summoned to do? It does no good. It's done in hypocrisy if we honor them to their face and belittle them behind their back. And we'll see that in just a moment. It is just counterproductive. In fact, you don't pray for someone who needs salvation and then just talk terrible about them. What are you doing? You're negating the words you just spoke about what you want the Lord to do in their life. You're confessing the way they are is stronger than what you just prayed for. This was really cemented to me at a National Day of Prayer years ago, where I was called on the morning of and asked, would I pray for our president? And this was a president who, as a person, I thought was a pretty good guy, but I did not agree with the policies that this gentleman was pursuing at all. So many directly opposed to God. But I had a dear friend who was there with her son, an adult son. And after it was over, he asked her mom, do we really have to pray the way Minton prayed for him, even though we don't agree with what he's doing? And thankfully she said, yes, that is exactly what the Word teaches us. So it just really cemented to me how we haven't taught this as we should. So as we pray for those who are in authority, I want you to go to 1 Timothy. And we're going to look at the second chapter, as you might guess. But we're just going to scratch the surface. We're not going to go in any detail. We're going to read these first four verses, which we read back in our last study as we were talking about interceding for others in our covenant authority discussion study. But listen to this. First of all, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, even those who you don't agree with, for kings and all who are in authority. So here we are, right back in this authority again. And then I want you to look at the end of this verse. Here's the reward for us doing that as the Lord instructs us, which some, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. There's our reward when we pray as the Lord instructs us to, with honor, for those in leadership. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. Well, how can you pray that way, Minton? Because look at verse 4. The Lord desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, again, I'm going to say, you don't need to be praying in this manner, mean it sincerely, and turn around and get on the telephone and talk bad about the same person. That's not showing honor. Now, you can say, well, gosh, everybody does that. Yeah, I have too. But the Lord has shown me over and over to the point that I don't like some of the stuff, but I've learned not to criticize and not to name call and some other things, because I see that I'm not honoring Him. I'm not being obedient to His word, and I don't want to do anything that hinders what He wants to do in my life. Paul honored authority that was putting him in jail, authority that was sentencing him and doing things. And I want you to think about all the apostles in being in those positions and honoring authorities, even when they were mistreated. But what happened? Acts 12:24 says, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. I would submit there's a reward that they got from their work. The work of the Lord continued to grow. And we don't need to worry about trying to take them down. Now, I'm not talking about voting here. That's a different matter. You vote for who the Lord puts on your heart. But think about Herod. He made himself out, and the people said, oh, he's like a god. And he got puffed up with pride. And what happened to him? The Lord struck him down. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Peter 2, and I want to look at verse 18. This is talking now in the context of servants. Or I would turn it this way. Those of us who are subject to the authority of another. Let's broaden it out so that we can talk about it in the context of what we're talking here today. about being submissive. It says, to your masters, let me just read that differently. Be submissive, those of you who are subjected in authority, to those in positions of authorities. And how are we to do it? With all respect. Now, we have people today who don't respect the person, but they also disrespect the office that he's been placed in. Not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. So this is saying we honor the person in the position, and we do that how? By doing just what we saw in 1 Timothy, by praying for them. Contemporary English Version says this, do this not only for those who are kind and thoughtful, but for those who are cruel. Good News Bible says something similar. It says, show them complete respect, not only to those who are kind and considerate, but also to those who happen to be harsh. Complete respect is the word it used. Now, when we talk bad about them to our friends, when we pray in a complaining manner to the Lord, are we honoring them? This tells us don't violate this rule now. Why? Because there are rewards. There are things that the Lord wants to honor you with that if we don't do it, I believe we're hindering. And let me just say, that ties into a study that we're doing in healing school right now. So many times, well, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? And we're seeing that that's not the right question. It's a lot of it is what we have done. And finding out what we have done to hinder the Lord, just like the husbands and wives we talked about a while ago. We don't want to do things that our prayers are hindered. So, and it's the same in this role here for governmental and civil authority. Now let's move on to the next one. And this one I've entitled Social and Economic, or it'd probably be better said Economic and Social. And I'm talking about here employers, bosses, teachers. And near and dear to my heart is an example, coaches. And I can't tell you, as a child growing up, how many people would laud my father when things were going well and give him a fit when things weren't going well. That's not what God's honor toward people, toward those who are in positions of authority, economic or business world, or in the social or instructional world, or even in sports. That's not how we're to be. Think about Hagar. Sarah was mean to her. But the Lord told her what? Go back and submit yourself to her. That's the seriousness of this. That's in Genesis 16:9, if some of you want to go read that. So I want to look at 1 Timothy in this one, the 6th chapter. And we're only going to read this one verse for this section, because what you're beginning to see is that this honor, as we do it toward the Lord, toward Jesus, as we do it toward our family whom we love, as we do it toward those government officials who we want to be in a position to do good for us, and now to those we interact with in our daily lives a lot of times. They all overlap, and it's the same concept. Again, this is given in the context of slaves. Now, you got to remember, a lot of these slaves were indentured, where they put themselves under subject to the master. Not like we read and know of history in our nation and other nations of slavery. It says, let all who are young under the yoke of slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Just didn't say a little bit of honor. All honor. So that why? So that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. So do you see how you treat others with or without honor doesn't reflect just on you, but on what? On our Father as well. Let me read you this in the Passion Translation. Instruct every employee to respect and honor their employers, for this attitude presents them to a clear testimony of God's truth and renown. Tell them never to provide them with a reason to discredit God's name because of their actions. Wow! Again, that's the Passion Translation. Believers ought to be the best employees. Employers ought to desire true believers to be working for them. Why? Because, saints, the Word says you're blessed. And when you take that blessing on the job with you, that just means you're in a position to help bless others, including your bosses, who you're working for. And if we really could grasp this and this cycle of honor, honor given so that honor can be given back and received, it's huge. Now, a lot of people say, I want to be a witness on the job. I fully agree. But I'm going to say it this way. In all you do, honor God, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be a witness. And I may have been in St. Christopher or someone made this statement or something like it. Preach Christ, and if you have to, use words. That's what I'm saying. Your actions will speak louder than words that you just say, particularly if you don't live up to them in every respect. And furthermore, you're on their dime. If they have rules that you don't just share over and over the word of the gospel, then live it in what you do. And I guarantee you, people will see and God will elevate you either in that organization or he'll put you in another organization. Now, I can't stress enough, children need to hear this early on so that as they go to school, they honor. Do I believe that there are teachers who just don't treat their students with honor? Sure there are. Few and far between, but there are. Just like there are others in different positions of authority. But overwhelmingly, we've seen today that the Word says, you treat them with honor, and they will what? Honor you. That's the promise we can stand on with the Lord. The next group, spiritual leaders. Now, we've already read a number of verses, as I said, that apply to these. Remember when Jesus said, if we honor him, we honor the Father who sent him? And we talked about pastors in Matthew 10 who, one sent by leadership, should be honored just as you would honor the leader. This just ties right into that. Hebrews 13th chapter, the 17th verse. And I'm just going to read this. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to read it in New American Standard. Look at what this says. Passion Translation. Obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority. Now, how many people leave churches and hop from church to church to church because the pastor instructs in a way that it's something they don't agree with? If they're leaving and the Lord told them not to, but they're doing it because they were offended when what was taught, they're hurting themselves. They're never going to mature as long as anything that creates a, oh my gosh, moment for them, that I just run from it. So this is how we obey, submit to, honor our pastor. So I'll just read it this way. Honor your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority. For they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. So, see this. If you believe you have pastors who aren't honoring you, that's not a reason to not honor them. Because they're going to have to give an answer for their work. He will deal with that lack of honor if they're truly doing that. And he may deal with it right away as you begin to bless him and pray for him. And he hears the voice of the Lord giving him instruction. And then it says, look at this. So it will benefit you. There's that reward again. When you make their work a pleasure and not a burden. It is not fun to spend all day correcting people. Be it children, your own, or grandchildren, or from a supervisor in a workplace. The biggest joy I got was honoring other people. Even if they made a mistake, if they received the correction, then I was able to honor them greatly as they changed and moved on up and did things correctly. That is just so, so, so important. Look at 1 Timothy again, chapter 5. I hope this is blessing you as it is me. It just really has encouraged me as we've gone through this today. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders, those leadership, senior leaders in the church, who rule well, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, I am putting this in there not for my benefit, so please do not take it that way. I have a son who's a pastor. I believe we ought to do it, but I don't believe we ought to do it because I have a son who's a pastor. I believe we ought to do it because this is the instruction of the Lord to us. Now, too many churches, too many people talk about their pastor in a non-honorable way. Many of them actually feel like it's their job to keep them humble because they are up in front of people all the time, and I will add, and poor. But I want you to see there is nothing honorable about that. Listen to the way people talk about some of their pastors. I remember one pastor I heard who told an account of being in a church and the people were saying, well, our little pastor. Little pastor. I mean, how demeaning do you want to get? I don't know if he was short in stature, but that's not an honoring thing. And that's what we want to do. One of the best bosses I ever had was a very short fellow. But I honored him. And guess what? He honored more people than you'd ever realize. And I would submit to you that until well after he had retired, and he's passed on now, until he received the Lord, I don't know that he fully appreciated what he was doing. But this concept of honor was groomed in him as a person. And he operated in it the best way he knew how. But when we do it with the Lord's help, with the Lord's working with us, then how much stronger can that be? Pray for your pastors. Paul asked for prayer for him. How much more do you think pastors need it? And not only pray for your pastors, for their family. I had friends who were pastor's kids. Some really struggled with it. And the PKs sometimes were not the best behaved. But a lot of it is because they didn't see people honoring their family for what they were giving up to serve in that position. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying you're to worship your pastor. Don't put them or any teachers you respect, especially me, on a pole. I don't want to be elevated that way. What do you remember the Asherah poles? Do you remember what was elevated on the pole when the healing needed to come? The bronze serpent? Certain things are made idols when they're raised up. And you don't want to put any person of God, any person period, in that role and that responsibility. You just hear and follow the Lord. And now the last group, number 7. And if you want to go back to 1 Peter 2:17, you can, but it's only 3 words that I'm going to tell you, so you don't have to turn there. It simply says, honor all men. Now you say, why should I have to honor all men? Well, let me ask you, who did Jesus die for? Did he honor all men by giving up his life and his blood for all men? I'm not saying all men are going to accept it. But yes, he showed honor for all men. He died for all. How often in the Word does it say, I don't want that any of these kids even should perish. That he wants all to come to the knowledge of the Lord. That he doesn't want anyone to not walk with him. This is what he wants for us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. This is such a powerful scripture. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him now thus no longer. What he's saying here is that when Jesus walked the earth in his flesh, we knew him according to the flesh. But now that he's not with us, we know him how? According to the spirit realm. That real man inside you and I as born-again believers. Now go back to the first part of that. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. So if you're talking about fellow believers, which we've already covered, we value and recognize them, even if their flesh is rebellious. Because why? Because of who they have become as born again, even though they're missing it. We honor them. If they are not believers, as we look at them knowing that, then our heart ought to yearn for them. You want to demonstrate to them, not just speak, but demonstrate to them the kingdom of God and his goodness. Use words if you have to, so that what? So that the good people they can become inside, in that hidden man, so that they can see it and have this same born-again experience, this same opportunity not to be motivated by condemnation, but to be motivated by righteousness, just as the gift you and I have been given. So this is why I believe we're told, honor all men. Doesn't mean they're going to be your best friend. It doesn't even mean you're going to spend a lot of time with them. But if I honor those that are precious to God, which is all people, then what do I know in return? That he's going to honor me in that way. You know, as I'm saying this right now, I'm thinking about people I know who have been praying for a long time for loved ones, even some sons and daughters, even some spouses. And they what? They want them to come to the Lord so badly. And it's just like I hear the Lord saying, honor those that I love. And there's a reward for that. Let me wrap this up. I want to talk about some of the things Jesus said on things we don't want to do relative to honor. John 5:41 in the New King James, Jesus speaking says, I do not receive honor from man or from men. So to me, what he's saying there is I don't pursue trying to obtain the honor of men. Now, why would I say that? The word receive there is the word lambano, which means to take hold of. Listen to the Amplified. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. The Good News says, I'm not looking for human praise. Now, we are all people. Jesus was a person of like flesh. And I know it meant something to him when people treated him as a friend, when people honored him. We all desire that. But what he's saying is, don't put that out in front of seeking honor from the Lord. Because all you're doing is building yourself up in pride. Let me take you back to the book of Esther. We studied this together, looking at people and acting in authority when Esther was called for such a time as this. And you remember, Mordecai heard Haman talking about a plan to kill all the Jews. He went to Esther and she didn't want to go before the king. He convinced her she needed to for such a time as this. Perhaps the Lord has raised you up. But that proceeds, and the Lord turns it around after Esther goes. But before it really happens, in the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, Haman, who started all this, he was the evil one. He was who was plotting to kill all the Jews. The king calls him in. And all this was instituted by the Lord through Esther. And it says, so Haman came into the king and said, what is to be done for the man who desires... Excuse me. The king said to him, what is to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor? And listen to this next phrase. And Haman said to himself, aha, he's going to honor me. Whom would the king desire to honor more than me? That's what he said to himself, not out loud to the king. So he is just falling into that trap of what? Seeking honor. Look at verse 10. So the king... He tells the king what he thinks he ought to do, how he parades him around before all men so that all men see him on this horse, and he makes good proclamations about him. And then in verse 10, the king turns around and says to Haman, take quickly the robes and the horse, as you've said, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything of all you have said. Do you see how he was brought low? Now, what, he ended up losing his life because this plot was exposed. But let me just remind you what happened to the Jews. Mordecai was exalted because of his honor. Esther was honored because she acted honorably. And Haman got just the opposite. But concerning the Jews, here's what happened as humble people worked for other people. For the Jews, there was light and gladness and joy. And I could put a period there and we could all say amen. But then it adds, and honor. So the Jews were honored by the Lord to the point that other people wanted to be Jews and wanted to join in with them because the Lord had honored them thusly. John 5:44 says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek that which is from the one and only God? Remember what we said earlier. True honor is a heart matter, and true honor only comes from the Lord. I want to close by reading a few verses in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start with 10, verse 10, but the second part of verse 10. Give preference to one another in honor. Isn't that what we talked about? Give preference, defer to one another in honor as a synonym for honor. Give preference to one another in honor. New Living Translation says, take delight in honoring one another. And here again, I like what the Passion Translation says. Try to outdo yourselves. Not try to outdo somebody else. Yourself. Try to outdo. In other words, increase. Try to outdo yourself in respect and honor of one another. That's to be our lifestyle. That's to be the goal that we are to attain to. Now let me read verse 10 for you. Look at how it starts. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Here we are again. Love, knowing who you are, and honor. And then look at verses 11 through 21, and I'm not going to read them all. But if you look at this, then these things are descriptions of what we do when we truly honor, and I'm going to just say the Lord, not lagging in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving Him, rejoicing in hope, devoted to prayer. All of these attributes are things that are emblematic of demonstrating honor to the Lord. And saints, I can't tell you how much, many times the Lord has spoken to me this, and even now is saying, as you honor me, I will honor you. And there is a reward for that honor. This is living the honorable lifestyle. This is who we are called to be. And I just believe the Lord is taking us up to this place, just like Esther had to come to a point of acting honorably, even though there was some fear in doing it, because the Lord has work for you and I to do in His kingdom. Now, next week, we're going to jump right in to what I would term biblical submission and obedience. And I'll tell you, it is just as important as what we're talking about today. You can't separate this from honor, as I think you'll see in if you read verses 10 through 21 in Romans 12. Father, I ask you to take this word, and as we meditate it and mutter it and think about it, make it come alive. Give us that of revelation. Pull back the veil on this word so that we see how to walk in increased honor in every area of our lives. and how when we do that, that brings honor to you. So, Lord, we want to honor you. And I just believe that we've become more equipped to do so as we take in your word and let it develop and grow in the roots of love in our spirit, man. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week. Look forward to it and live and walk in honor, both giving, but also in receiving it. Bless you.